Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we love you, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for the abundance of all things. We thank you for the privilege to pray. Lord, as we discuss again today some of the reasons why there is reasons for unanswered prayer, I just ask you to reveal to all of us the mighty truths of the Word of God, that we might understand how to get our prayers answered and be more beneficial in praying, and how we can get things done for the kingdom of God. Now, Father, I worship you and praise you and thank you for the magnificent privilege to come to you in prayer and for you to hear our prayer and know that our prayers are going to be answered. So I ask you to reveal yourself to each one of us today as the word goes out, and use all of us mightily for the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan, I rebuke you and I command you in the name of Jesus to keep your hands off of all of my equipment, off of the equipment on this radio station, and to not blind the minds or the hearts of anyone listening to this radio broadcast today, and that the word may penetrate their hearts and minds, and they may receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now then, yesterday, as we talked just a little bit there at the end, yesterday we talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh, how Paul, even as great a man as he was caught up to the third heaven, and while absolutely that Paul's situation was totally unique back in those days, this principle that governed him not getting his prayer answered may be more general. I'm going to tell you that very few people can take honors, either from the world or from God. Because if we do get these honors, we become conceited. Now, what servant of the Lord does not know the subtle temptation to spiritual pride that follows even mediocre success? How often one of us will relate an answer to prayer in such a way as to reflect credit upon himself, and then ends up blandly saying, "To God be the glory." The ego is so swollen by the fall that it is an easy prey to Satan and his demons. Now then, I believe with all my heart that demons absolutely lurk constantly just outside your skin, and many of them come in and penetrate your skin. But whenever the Lord told us that our enemy swarms around us like bees, over in the book of Psalms, then these enemy, which is Satan and his demons, they literally swarm around us like bees. They're waiting for us to give them legal right to enter through our sin. And when we sin, man, they come in and they cause us all kinds of problems. Now, I mean, I know that people will tell you, now don't get to teaching about demons, because you'll get people to thinking that you might find a demon under every bush. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's a demon under every bush. I think there's a whole lot more than one under every bush. I think those things are swarming around us just like the Word of God says, waiting to get legal access to us through sin. When we sin, they come in. And one of the ways is these demons of pride. Now, who knows how much God would do for his servants if he dared? Now, if one does not boast openly following an anointed fluency of speech, a specific answer to prayer, a miracle of faith, or some other manifestation of spiritual gifts, or even graces, he is tempted to gloat secretly because of the recognition. Now, except for spiritual or special grace, on such occasion, one falls easily into Satan's trap. Now, because most men are so vulnerable to any small stimulus to pride, now God, although he loves to do so, dares not honor many before the world by special displays of his miracle-working power in answer to prayer. Now, this does not mean that God has repudiated his promise when such requests seem to be refused, but that human weakness and infirmity frustrates him and prevents the answer that is ready and waiting from arriving. Now, if God felt compelled to withhold from Paul the answer to his prayer to prevent being his exalted above measure, as the scripture says. May this explain why God cannot answer more prayers for his children. Now the sands of time are strewn with the wrecks of the broken lives of many who were once mightily used of God, but who suffered shipwreck upon the rocks of spiritual pride. Now, this absolutely explains why you've heard people say that God's great work is to reduce us, that is, our ego. For until God has wrought a work of true humility and brokenness in his servants, he cannot answer some of their prayers without undue risk of producing the pride that goes before a fall. Now, if God could trust the petitioner to keep lowly, who knows how many more answers to prayers he would readily give us if he could trust us to not walk in pride. So what we need to do is always walk humbly before the Lord at all times in everything that we do. Now then, although the church has been delegated all power over Satan and his hierarchy, which Christ delegated to the church, we operate wholly within the framework and system of believing prayer which God has ordained. Now, by God's own choice, all of this vast delegated authority is wholly inoperative apart from the prayers or the commands of a believing church. Now, if the church does not pray, God will not act, because that would nullify his plan to prepare for her for rulership through on-the-job training in enforcing Christ's victory at Calvary. Now, if it were not for his determination to bring the church up to full stature as his co-regent, God would not have established this system of prayer at all. There is no intrinsic power in prayer as such. On the contrary, prayer is an acknowledgement of need, of helplessness. Now, if God chose, he could act arbitrarily without regard to prayer or lack of it. All power originates in God and belongs to him alone. He ordained prayer not primarily as a means of getting things done for himself, but as part of the apprenticeship program for training the church for her royal duties, which will follow the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, unless we understand this and enter into sincere cooperation with God's plan of prayer, the power needed to overcome and bind Satan on earth will not be released. Now, God has the power to overcome Satan without the cooperation of his church through prayer and faith. But if he did it without her, it would deprive her of enforcement practice, and it would rob the church of the strength she would gain in overcoming. Now, this is God's primary reason for inaugurating this system of prayer and unequivocally binding himself to answer. Therefore, there is no authority apart from persistent believing prayer. When you understand that we can get nothing done on earth except in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth or in prayer to the Father. Now, it is obvious that as born again sons and daughters of the King of the universe, we have at least two ways to go here. Number one, we can pray for certain things, or we can take the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and command certain things. Now, we realize here that as born again sons and daughters of the King of the universe, we have the right to take the mighty name of our King, Jesus, and to use his name to get things done. Because we can take his name, we can literally command sickness and disease and things like that to leave in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and it has to work. You can go back into the New Testament and you'll see there was many times that Paul used the name of Jesus to command demons to leave. You can see where Peter and John used the name of Jesus to command a man that had been handicapped and couldn't walk for many years. They commanded him to rise and walk in the name of Jesus. Now, I've done this myself many times. I have literally used the name of Jesus and commanded disease and sickness to leave people and seen many people healed. I mean, some of them were healed instantly. Many of them were healed in a matter of a few minutes to a few hours. But I'm telling you, the name of Jesus is the greatest and most powerful name there is on the earth. So if you're not having too much of a results and getting your prayers answered, start when you speak to sickness and disease. Don't pray for somebody to be healed. First thing to do is command and demand in the name of Jesus that that sickness and disease leave them. Then after you have demanded that the sickness and disease leave someone, then take the prayer and ask the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to restore and heal everything that the enemy has messed up. Now, I have done this many times. I used to have very few answers to prayer until I realized my authority as a believer. Many times I couldn't get somebody healed, and I didn't understand it was a demon that was causing the problem. So when I learned that, I could take and command that sickness or that demon to leave them in the name of Jesus, and then I could pray for the Father to send the Holy Spirit to restore and heal everything the devil's messed up, and I started getting many people wonderfully healed. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, as I said a while ago, God absolutely has the power to overcome Satan without the cooperation of His church through prayer and faith. But if He did it without her, it would deprive her, the church, of enforcement practice, and it would rob the church of the strength she would gain in overcoming. Now, this is God's primary reason for inaugurating the system of prayer and unequivocally binding Himself to answer. Therefore, there is no authority apart from persistent believing prayer. Now, that's the thing I want you to get a hold of. Persistent believing prayer. Whatever you do, be persistent and don't give up, and your answer is always yes in the name of Jesus. If you'd like teaching tapes, video or audio tapes, write me at the Living Savior Ministries, Box 35, Justin, Texas 76247. Or you can give me a call for audio and video tapes at 940-242-2106. And on the web, you can get us at www.tlsm.org, and there you can send us an email. We'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday evening at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. until 4 p.m.
I'd also like to invite you to my healing school. We have a healing school the second Saturday of every month at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m., and we see the Lord heal many people at this healing school. We will teach you how to walk in divine health and what causes sickness and disease. Praise the Lord Jesus.